go ahead and open with hymn 224. Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all
sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord filleth the world. Hallelujah. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Jesus Christ, thou almighty Son of God, we beseech thee, send thy Holy Spirit into our hearts through thy word, that he may rule and govern us according to thy will, comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us by thy truth against every error, so that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and all good works, and firmly trusting in thy grace, which through death thou hast purchased for us, obtain eternal salvation, thou who reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this Pentecost Sunday is found in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, the 22nd through the 28th verse. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of Acts, the 1st through the 13th verse. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Here ends the epistle lesson. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Alleluia. In the 14th chapter of John, in the 23rd through the 31st verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee,
Lord. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. We sing hymn 235.
Thank you. Us
In God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Ephesians, the 19th through the 22nd verse. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we are children, we are instructed by our parents not to talk to strangers. The reason for this advice, of course, is to protect the children. For if a person is a stranger, that means you know nothing of them or whether you can trust them. When you are young, impressionable, and easily deceived, your parents naturally wish to do all the speaking and talking to strangers for you. You're separated from the stranger. But there are stranger things than strangers and stranger people. There are aliens, that is, foreigners. Someone who is not part of your own culture. Someone with a strange language, who eats strange foods, perhaps worships strange gods, and has strange habits. When you come upon such a foreigner, not only do you not know them, you cannot even understand them or their way of life. To be a foreigner is to be an outsider, to be separate from old and young alike. We see in our own country how very often when families and cultural groups migrate here from far-off lands, they tend to form their own communities. And even though they might have become Americans, they remain apart, outsiders from the society and nation as a whole. Many Americans have not had the luxury of traveling in a foreign land, and of those who have, even fewer have left the familiar Western world, which we can understand, and gone to places with an entirely different way of life. In other words, as often as we encounter strangers and foreigners in our own land, we have rarely found ourselves to be the foreigner and the stranger. If we had, we would better understand what our sermon text means when it talks about how we were once strangers and foreigners from God's own household. These words were written by Paul to the Ephesians, who had personal experience being outsiders of God's kingdom. While in former ages there was the occasional Gentile that converted to the faith of Abraham, most Gentiles were outside, with foreign ways and foreign gods. In fact, God even describes them as children of wrath because they were destined for hell in their natural condition and had no part at all in God's household. The Jews, in fact, were to have as little as possible to do with them. as it is with Americans who do not know what it means to be foreigners in a strange land. We who have been baptized into the Christian faith as children do not have a memory of what it means to be an outsider from God's kingdom. It is certainly a blessing that we were brought into the kingdom of God when we were babes in arms and cannot remember a time when we did not know God. But we also have a great temptation, if that is true of us, to believe that it is not so bad, perhaps, to be an outsider to God's kingdom. And we tend to take for granted the gift of salvation that has always been ours. But for those who remember being an outsider from God's kingdom, who can look back to a time in your life when you did not know Christ, did not daily repent of your sins, and did not regularly hear the comforting word that your sins are forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ, you are not without temptations of your own in this regard. You are tempted either to go back to your former life and the sins of the flesh in which you lived, or to be self-righteous and forget that it is by God's power alone that you were brought into his kingdom and made a part of his household. Therefore, on this glorious day of Pentecost, we all do well to remember the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the only thing that has made us true children of God. For whether we were born into the faith and came later in life, we were once truly outcasts, strangers and foreigners, with no place or part in God's kingdom, just as the Gentile Christians in Ephesus once were. But now, we are made a part of God's own household, his own children. We are his own building by the work of his Holy Spirit. The first verse of our text declares that glorious message of Pentecost. Therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. That no longer will the Word of God be confined to that small corner of the globe known as Israel, but it will explode like a wildfire into every nation. God's Word and the gospel of salvation in Christ would no longer be confined to the Hebrew and Greek languages, but would be spoken in every language of men, so that men everywhere might come to know the knowledge of the truth of their lost condition, their complete depravity, their foreign and strange nature, and might repent of their evil and receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. For ultimately it is sin itself, our unrighteous and holy natures, that makes us strangers and foreigners from God's kingdom. Only if the barrier is removed, if we are brought into the faith of Christ by a power that can take away our sins, can we cease to be strangers and become children. On the day when Jesus was crucified, we hear that the veil of the temple, a heavy curtain, was torn in two from top to the bottom. The veil that separated the Holy of Holies, where the high priest went once a year to make the great sin offering for the people. By this act of severing that veil, God showed us all that the law of Moses had been fulfilled. The final and only sufficient sacrifice had been made. All that went before, every ceremony of old, every temple sacrifice, every purity law, everything that kept Israel as a people set apart from the nations of the world, as strangers and pilgrims in this world in which they lived, all of that was ended. You see, all those laws in the Old Testament served two purposes. The first was always to point people back to the God of salvation, so that whether it is in repenting of their sins, or whether it is in seeing in all of the sacrifices and ceremonies the seed of David who would come and die for them, they would always center their whole life around God's promise of salvation. But the second purpose of all the old sacrifices and ceremonies and laws and ordinances was to keep the Israelites separated from the world. The reason for this separation was also found in Christ. God used the separation between Jews and Gentiles to bring about his promise, so that the seed of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Judah, the seed of David, the Christ whom God had promised, would crush the serpent's head, as God once told Eve in the very garden where man was once perfect, so that he would be born without fail at the appointed time. But now the time of separation has ended. Christ Jesus has reconciled Israel to God, but more than this, he has reconciled the whole world to God. Pentecost is the day that God revealed that glorious truth, that Jesus is not just a Savior for a few, but for everyone, that he did not remove the sins of only a few, but of all the world. There is now no one who needs to be apart, who needs to be a stranger and foreigner from God's household. In Jesus, we who were once foreigners are now called fellow citizens. We Gentiles who did not know God, and who, despite the revelation of God in our hearts and in nature, did not know the true God nor expect from him any salvation or help, we have been made partakers equal with all the saints of old, the Israelite fathers. The veil has been torn in two for us, and we are now one people. We cannot imagine what it was like for the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Here were the 11 apostles, men of no great training, sitting alone, and all of a sudden, this sound of a rushing, mighty wind filled not only the house, but was notable enough and heard far and wide that all of the people around who were gathered together in Jerusalem on this festival day came to see what the fuss was all about. Where was this sound? Where was this noise coming from? And here they saw these 11 men in the upper room glowing with flames of fire upon their heads. And these men began to speak in all the native tongues of the many Jews who were present. You see, the Jews had already spread throughout the known world, taking advantage of the Pax Romana, as it was called, so that they could become merchants and traders all over the known world. And where they settled, they naturally assimilated the language of the people among whom they lived, and therefore in these many foreign lands. The language that they spoke in their day-to-day discourse was therefore not usually Greek or Hebrew, but wherever they happened to be. Though they were of Abraham's seed, they did not commonly speak Abraham's language except in the synagogues and in the temple. And so here, where God himself is at work by his Spirit, it is not Greek or Hebrew that they hear from the mouths of the apostles. They hear the languages of the lands of their births. These simple men, these 11 apostles, spoke of the wonderful works of God in all the languages of the Gentiles. And despite the silly accusations that the apostles were drunk, this miracle could only be evidence of God's own hand and will. God willed that they preach in every language of the world. And they preached in these foreign tongues because by this preaching God demonstrated his desire that all men repent of their sins and believe on Christ Jesus, so that the veil of sin that covered their heart might be torn in two and they might be saved. Therefore, though the tongues were new and strange, the content of the preaching of the apostles was not a new gospel or different words than the Jews who had gathered in Jerusalem had never heard before. They declared that God had kept the promises made to their fathers, and they repeated the testimony of Scripture concerning all that God would do to redeem man from sin and death. The apostles preached on the foundation of the prophets. And this same preaching is the one word which we declare today. In our text, the prophets here refer to all those by whom God has given His word, the Holy Scriptures. That is certainly is the prophets of the Old Testament, from Moses to Malachi, and likewise the prophets of the New, such as Mark and Luke, who though not apostles, were nevertheless called by the Holy Spirit to give us God's word. To this is added then the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, who saw with their own eyes the promises being fulfilled. And this is the gospel which they preached. It would be very familiar to the Jews that were present to hear of the Christ who fulfilled the Passover and kept all of the promises made to their fathers. What was utterly foreign to them was that this promise was for everyone. Together, all these various words, whether they are from the old or the new, the prophets or the apostles speak with one voice. For God does not have many spirits, but only one Holy Spirit by whom He has inspired this unchanging testimony by which we are saved. Upon that foundation, as the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus Himself stands. For the message of all the Scriptures is Jesus Christ crucified. He is called the chief cornerstone. This analogy is repeated several times in the New Testament, once by Christ, here by Paul, once in the Epistle of Peter, and it refers back to a verse in Psalm 118, verse 2, namely, which says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." We often think of a cornerstone as a stone that you inscribe the date of a building on, or maybe a dedication or a motto, or maybe you put behind it a time capsule. It has primarily a symbolic purpose. But that is not what the chief cornerstone is for, according to the old methods of construction, which Psalm 118 refers to. When a stone building was constructed upon a firm foundation, the first stone was the most important stone of all. It was not a symbol. It had to be perfectly shaped and fitted for the function that it was to fill, with straight lines and with an accurate corner, because every other wall and stone of the entire building was measured and aligned to that one stone. It was chief because everything depended upon it. It defined the structure which was then built. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ is in His church, the chief cornerstone. Absolutely everything that we do, and everything that His Spirit speaks, and every word which we preach, ritual which we perform, is done in Christ and because of Christ, for His sake. Christ Jesus is the heart and the core of the whole church. Take away the chief cornerstone, and there can be no building. There can be no church. We cannot be fitted together as one people, because it is only by Christ that we are made one. It is by and through Christ alone that we grow into one holy Christian church. For only Christ Jesus has taken away the barrier that made all of us strangers and foreigners. Only in Christ are our sins removed. And so in Christ, the whole building, every stone, every Christian, is built together, not as some profane or pagan temple might be, but a holy temple, a fit dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And when God says that this is a fit place, that means nothing less than we are just as holy as He is. Each one of us who were by nature useless stones, outcasts, really only fit to be ground up as gravel or perhaps made into paving stones to be trodden underfoot, are now transformed into members of God's household by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The means of grace, the gospel which is declared in our ears. We are transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And now we, who once were foreigners, belong in this place, not by any work of our own, but because God in His mercy has taken us out of the world and united us together in one Lord Jesus Christ. And in this holy temple, the Spirit of God lives indeed. In the Old Testament, the people knew that God was in His temple because He gave them a glorious vision of His glory, what they called the Shekinah, to show that the Spirit had come into the temple. Well, what this is saying is nothing less than now, that same glory is in us. We are His temple, and His Spirit now lives and dwells with us with that same power. May we ever cling to the foundation upon which we are built, the word and baptism by which the Holy Spirit Himself has forgiven our sins and made us children of God, so that that Spirit of God might ever dwell within us. And though His glory is not seen in us by the eyes of men now, it shall be seen one day when the glory of God's presence is revealed before the eyes of all men. May we therefore wait patiently on that day, for that day, and continue in the word and sacraments as one people. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, heavenly Father, who hast poured out thy Holy Spirit upon thy church, that we may abide with it forever, preserving it in true faith of thy holy word and enlightening it with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, establish our faith that our salvation may be firmly grounded in thy Son. We thank thee that by thy Spirit we have been called to faith in Jesus Christ, given belief in thy word, and gathered into the fellowship of thy holy church. Sanctify us that we may be meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. To this end, direct us to the witness of thy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, that we may become increasingly wise unto salvation. Enable us to resist the devil and to follow Christ, and so perform works of righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. To that end, shed thy Spirit upon us, that we may remember again the love of Jesus Christ, which he demonstrated on his cross, that we might find in each day the comfort of the forgiveness of sins, love our Savior with all our hearts and minds, and keep his words. Let the Comforter continue to descend upon thy church, through the divine gifts of the word and sacraments, that she may be strong in faith. Stir up thy church, O Lord, and imbue her with zeal to seek the lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring comfort to the imprisoned, to heal the afflicted, and to cheer all that mourn. Give thy spirit room in our heart, in our homes, that he may also instruct our children in the paths of righteousness, and endow every parent with wisdom and prudence, so that together the family may adorn the name of Christ with godliness and honor. Govern the nations upon the earth, and help them to acknowledge thy power, dominion, and righteous judgment, so that they may turn from their evil ways and live. Give unto our land and all in authority firmness in the right and steadfastness in integrity, and be thou our shield and buckler. To all in trial or tribulation, the sick, the weary, the oppressed, the fearful, the needy, and the lonely, give the peace of Christ. Let their cry come unto thee, and grant them all things needful. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing hymn 231. Your hearts.
We lift them up unto the
Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens, and sitting on thy right hand, poured out on this day the Holy Spirit, as he had promised, upon the chosen disciples, whereat the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is thy kingdom, and
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. partake and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
To the Son and to
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we give thanks unto thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 230. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.